You are listening to episode 114 of the Mad Chatters podcast, November 30th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
There and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings of the at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name's Derek, and joining me today are my co-hosts Matthew.
Hey there.
And Jeremy.
I like my water like I like my Snapchat filtered.
Wow.
I want to send my love out to the thousands of listeners who sent me messages inquiring about my absence last week, and just want to say I appreciate the concern. All is well. You know, life gets a little busy, but it's good to be back chatting with you both.
Yeah, we missed you for sure. Well, I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Anything of importance to note?
Yeah, we were in cold Tennessee. There's a part of me that misses the cold and the little nippy air around November and December, but after a week there, I was ready to see some palm trees and hit that good old 65-degree weather again.
Well, it was good to see you. I'm glad we got to see each other face-to-face for a very brief period of time.
Yeah.
That's what the holidays are all about, seeing your fellow chatters, I guess, or at least one of them.
Yeah.
Did anybody see Moana over the long weekend?
I think you did.
Well, I did. But I met you guys.
No, I have not seen it yet. I had every intention of seeing it and not able to. So I hope to see it maybe tomorrow night, since we're not recording tomorrow night. We're recording tonight. So.
All right. Well, then I'll save it. Maybe next week we can discuss it.
Well, I mean, you can at least tell us your initial thoughts. Spoiler-free.
Okay. Spoiler-free. It was good. It was good. I liked it. I feel like people online are losing their minds over it, and it's fine. It's a very good Disney movie. The music is terrific. So good. They're all stuck in my head. It's not as funny as it thinks it is my one maybe point against it.
Like a DreamWorks funny?
A little bit. That's a
like
pretty
we're trying to be really relevant?
A little bit. That's a pretty good description of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it like more slapstick humor? Is that...
There's a little bit of slapstick as well, but I was like, nope, you need to stop.
I picked up on that from the trailer. One of the trailers where it kind of gets a little goofy. But I'm looking forward to it. You're the first... I'm not going to call that a negative review, but you're the first realistic review I've heard. I've seen a lot of love towards it.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly enjoyed it. You're right. That was not negative. It didn't change the Disney game or anything.
Is it going to be bigger than Frozen? Yes or no?
Well, it's just hard to compete with two princess sisters, so I don't know. I don't know.
Hard to believe it was just 3 years ago that... Well, I say we weren't recording then, but we, a culture, were just being exposed to Anna and Elsa.
3 years. That's crazy.
3 years down the road, we may be sitting there going, oh, I'm so sick of Moana. Well, the Twitter is all abuzz this evening because apparently the much anticipated nighttime spectacular at Disney's Animal Kingdom has made its premiere, at least in a cast member preview. And so Rivers of Light, is it lights or light?
Light.
Light.
Okay, so singular light.
But many rivers.
Interesting thought. Okay, Rivers of Light has premiered. And again, going off the initial reviews, we can't really speak to it because none of us are cast members, nor were we there.
Does it have ears?
Initial reviews that I've seen are that it's beautifully done, but kind of mundane. Have you all seen anything different?
That's pretty much the gist I got. And it's crazy that they did a cast member preview, but there is no word whatsoever about this debuting anytime soon. So, I don't know.
Maybe they thought, gee, this is really mundane. Let's try it with the cast members first and see what they think.
Maybe so, yeah.
And they're going to work on it till spring. Here's hoping.
Well, it's always interesting to me as well, because we've noted this, Derek. When people get free previews to movies, they love it, no matter how awful the movie is. And so the fact that people are coming out of a preview kind of going, eh, that, I think that tells you something. Because most of the time, if you're the first to see something, oh, it's so amazing, and oh, blah, blah, and all you want to do is talk about it and live, you know. So I'm curious to see if they're going to make some changes to this show.
No, that's a good point, because we've talked about when we see screenings of films, like comedies, you know, everyone in the theater is dying at lines that weren't even supposed to be funny. Mm-hmm. But they're cracking up.
Yeah, I saw a preview of Without a Paddle before that came out years ago.
The classic film, Without a Paddle.
You would have thought that it was the funniest thing ever. Like the way, like people like rolling in the aisles, like holding their sides. And I'm like, no.
So if anybody in the theme park world is paying attention to, it's Branson, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So for all those theme park tourists who so avidly follow Silver Dollar City in beautiful Branson, Missouri,
who doesn't?
If you take that as sarcasm, that's you. If you are serious about that, that's you. You will have noticed something very familiar looking in some recent artwork. And that's scrolling through Facebook at random tonight. I just happened to stumble upon a few pictures of it. And seems very clearly, although no official word has been given, that the lights from the Osborne family spectacle of dancing lights that previously found its home at Disney's Hollywood Studios during the Christmas season, seems like it will be moving there as part of a Christmas expansion. It's called an expansion because their Christmas in Midtown, as it has been called, already featured about 5 million lights in whatever display orientation this was. It looks like a bunch of buildings covered in lights, very similar to what we used to see on the streets of America at Hollywood Studios. But this new artwork comes with a number, 1.5 million more lights. And if I'm not incorrect, that's at least around the amount that was part of the Osborne family spectacle dancing lights at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And the most intriguing part of this is the artwork itself, which features very clear likenesses to the Osborne dancing lights, such as the huge globe, the angels that are holding the banner. There's a large Christmas tree, which I know is not exclusive to the Osborne dancing lights. But it's when you mirror the images, it's very clearly the same. And if you look at the top right-hand corner of the artwork that's going around, you see a little, I don't even know what to call it. It's like a little spinning wheel with the angels on it. And if you look at the pictures from the Osborne dancing lights, you see the same thing in the left-hand corner of the picture I'm looking at. Almost like a little windmill, except it's horizontal. You know what I'm talking about?
Like a ceiling fan?
It's like a mobile.
Yeah, and they're like angels on it. So, of course, no official word, obviously, but it just seems like this is where those lights from the Osborne dancing lights are going. And if I'm not incorrect, weren't they from the Osborne family from either Missouri or Arkansas originally?
They're from Arkansas, Little Rock.
There you go.
So
it's it's like they're coming home.
Oh, they're coming home to roost in the Midwest.
Yeah. Interesting news. It seems all but official. But I mean, just looking at the artwork, it's like either they're replicating it exactly, or what makes the most sense is that, listen, they just bought all the lights, either from Hollywood Studios or from the family or however that works.
Do you think they bought the lights, or do you think it was like a theme park version of like a thrift shop where like Disney's like, we'll just donate.
Well, who actually owned them? I mean, did the Osborne family still own the display?
You know, that's a good question, because when the display came to Hollywood Studios, I mean, it's grown over the years.
Yeah.
So I would imagine Disney, you know, owned the part that, that the expansion part, at least. Maybe the original whatever was part of the owned by the family. But I can't imagine that Disney just gave them everything back that they had purchased. So I'm sure there was lawyers and contracts and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it seems like Disney did acquire them. I mean, I'm guessing there was contracts and things like, you know, keep the name on it, keep the family name on it or whatever. So, yeah, maybe they just put the lights down in the old theme park Goodwill and old Mr. Silver Dollar went by and said, hey, I'll take those.
And for many people like myself, when you first heard Osborne Family Lights, you immediately thought of Ozzy and Sharon. Mm-hmm. Osborne, and I was like, wow, they are really expanding their horizons here at Disney.
They love Christmas.
The Osborne family. That's going to be some interesting light shows, but unfortunately, I was disappointed.
Well, you up there in Missouri, you can sneak away next Christmas, starting in 2017, and get a little teaser taste of Christmas at Disney.
I'm not sure how deep the fandom went for the Osborne lights, but do you think there are any diehard Disney fans who will make the trip to Missouri just for one last look?
You know, I think there will be.
I could see it.
I think there'll be a lot that people... I mean, you never know that people develop emotional connections to things like that, and they might, you know...
No, I mean, if there are people like that, we're not going to communicate.
Well, I'm like, Mama, you know, we took Mama. It was our last Christmas. We have fond memories and pretty pictures. And, you know, I mean, there's millions of people going through that thing every year. I'm sure there's some tearjerker, heart-wrenching stories that will have forever tied people to the Osborne lights.
Now we're entering into, like, Stranger Things territory.
Yeah, upside down. Branson is, like, upside down.
Hey, there is a Dolly Parton Dixie Stampede there, so if you're in town.
Dolly Parton is certainly upside down.
I don't know what that means.
Well, now that we've gotten the news out of the way, let's kick things off with the Disney Fix.
The Disney Fix.
Ah. So this is a segment where we basically discuss anything Disney related that has been part of our lives lately that we didn't really want to discuss in the main segment or didn't fit any other segment, so we put it right here in the Disney Fix. So Jeremy, you want to hit us up first?
Yeah, I'm taking out my Keys to the Kingdom card and I'm getting my Disney Fix line going so I can snort it all up. My Disney Fix is this week on the television, ABC, you probably watched it. They did the Disney Holiday Celebrations. Did either of you catch this?
No.
I did not.
I kind of laughed to myself when you said you probably watched this because I'm like, do you know Matt and me?
Well, I mean, it's like Disney Parks. That's why I assumed that you would watch it. So,
yeah, but I've been burned on that before, though. Like when they said, we're going to show the Paint the Night Parade on that one special.
And oh, that's true.
No.
Yeah, no, this, I had zero expectations going in. I think it was Thanksgiving night that it was on. Maybe it was Wednesday night. I can't remember.
It was Thanksgiving,
Thanksgiving, okay. And I have some thoughts on it. First off, it's always interesting to me some of the choices that are made for these things. First off, they had Flo Rida as one of the musical guests. Now, this is Disney's official kickoff for their Christmas season. So you're expecting them to sing Christmas songs, but instead he sang his song, that Welcome to My House. Have you heard Welcome to My House?
I do know that.
Okay. What about that is Christmas?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
weird. Maybe like Welcome to Grandma's House or something.
Welcome to my house on Christmas.
On Christmas, there we go. A little asterisk at the end. And they also had Kelly Clarkson, and she sang, you know, a couple of, or she sang one or two holiday selections, but then she also sang one of her like normal pop hits as well. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's like they were trying to think. I'm just picturing the directors like, they gotta sing their pop hit because otherwise people aren't going to watch it. No, people are tuning into this because it's Christmas and because it's Disney, and they want to see Kelly Clarkson. And I don't even think they want to see Flo Rida, but if they do want to see Flo Rida, they want to hear Flo Rida singing Baby It's Cold Outside or something, not Welcome to My House. But that's just my thought.
It's all about the contract. Yes, I will be part of your special if you let me sing my hit song.
Yeah. They also had a couple of more interesting choices, like Boys to Men was on
it. Yeah.
I guess maybe they stuck around after Eat to the Beat and they just decided to throw him on the stage. They also had Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, which was kind of, again, just not relevant people, but struggling to be relevant kind of a thing. Anyways, another interesting choice. Some of their stage locations, they particularly had one, and it was Kelly Clarkson's stage. It was set up in front of Mission Space at Epcot.
That is so random.
It was the most random because
please come ride this.
Well, there's nothing about that attraction that is like screams Disney. Like, okay, maybe you could put it in front of It's a Small World in Disneyland. That makes sense, you know, Small World. You put it in front of Space Mountain. Okay, Space Mountain, that's pretty associated with Disney. Mission Space? That there's nothing that associates that with.
I think they're trying to reach an age group and demographic that I don't think they have any idea how to reach. It's like a bunch of 50-year-old youth pastors are running Disney's ad campaign. Like, let's put them in front of our teen ride, the Mission Space, and give them some of that hip hop music from the 90s.
I mean, my thing is they have that stage that the. What is that, the Joyful Noise Choir or whatever that is that sings there at Epcot behind the Fountain of Nations with Spaceship Earth in the background. They already have that stage set up and there's plenty of space there for a crowd, so they should have done it there and it would have been a beautiful shot of Spaceship Earth. But instead we got Mission Space. So Merry Christmas from Mars, I guess, and Gary Sinise. But the highlight of the night, oh, one more interesting thing. So they wanted to do this very special thing where they would go to all the Disney parks, not all the Disney parks, but all like the Magic Kingdom style parks, and light up the castles in each park for Christmas. So throughout the night, we started at Disneyland, then we went to Disney Paris, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Tokyo, blah, 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 and ended at Walt Disney World. I thought it was a spectacular idea.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Hong Kong and Shanghai, they just use stock footage from from Shanghai, they use stock footage from the opening day, like castle lighting up. And Hong Kong, it wasn't even Christmas related. It was just like they shined some lights on the castle and made it look like it had fireworks or something. It was just very like, if you're going to do something, do it right and do it all the way. And
it's
that's
because China ain't all about that Christmas.
Well, maybe not, but you would think it was being one company trying to promote all their parks that they would get it together.
Yeah, that's lame. But, or just don't do it. Like, don't promote it as a cool Christmas lighting and then do it halfway.
Yeah. So, anywho, just that kind of irked me a bit. But the highlight of the night for me was JoJo. Are you familiar with her?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she sang, and I cannot remember what song she sang, but it was a classic Christmas song. I can't, the name of it escapes me at this moment exactly which one, but she sang it there in front of the Tree of Life at Animal Kingdom, and it was not only the perfect visual aesthetics, but she sang it so lovely as well. So that it was the highlight of mine. I don't know if you can find that on YouTube or whatever, but it's worth watching.
Nice. How long was this thing?
2 hours.
Okay. Yeah, I've just been disappointed in those specials a lot in the past, but I do need to tune into those, maybe record them, and then, you know, fast forward through commercials, just because there are highlights.
That's the only way. Yeah, that's the only way I watch the Disney Parks Parade on Christmas anymore, is I record it and watch it later, because you can get through all the riffraff.
Mm-hmm. All the Teen Beach Party song and dance numbers or whatever they do. I don't know.
Yeah, the Kringle Cruise.
All right, Matt, what about you?
Well, the one I will present to you is interesting to me, but it is a prime example of why I am not involved in business and have no interest in business-related things. But this article comes from the Wall Street Journal 2 days ago, as of today. So it's a recent article, not one of these, you know, hey, this was 5 years ago. I'm just going to read the article because it's fairly short. And then let Derek, didn't you do business in college?
I did.
You can explain this to me then.
Oh, maybe. Boy.
Maybe remember your vocab. An activist investor in struggling resort Euro Disney. Okay, now there's the opening. That's the thesis right there for you. Says a charge the company took following the Paris terror attacks amounts to an accounting trick. In a letter to the company seen by the Wall Street Journal. I don't know how to pronounce this dude's name. I'm going to say it's Guy Weiser-Pratt, a veteran activist who heads the U.S.-based Weiser-Pratt Management Company, says a $565 million impairment charge reported by Euro Disney this month is aimed at bringing down Euro Disney's share price and allowing majority owner Walt Disney Company to gain full control of the firm. Of course, Euro Disney and Walt Disney Company refused to comment, and Euro Disney, of course, said it was unfounded and false. And of course, I think all of this stems from obviously he said the Paris terrorist attacks last November, and then also citing France strikes by pilots, rail workers, and taxi drivers, which apparently. Plunged the park's attendance and plunged their revenue. So I'm trying to make sense of this, and you can tell me if I'm correct or not. But okay, Euro Disney is one company. It is separate from the Walt Disney Company. And I think what he's saying and accusing Euro Disney of is because they're struggling so bad, they're depreciating their own value in the market. So that the Walt Disney Company, which is obviously doing much better, can buy larger and bigger shares, pushing out what he calls minority investors, and so raising their value, which he calls quote-unquote goodwill.
Okay. I didn't really follow any of that.
Okay. This dude, Guy Weiser-Pratt, I don't know how to, if you're listening, Guy, email us and tell us how to pronounce your name. and maybe explain all this stuff. He is an investor in Euro Disney, which is a separate company than Walt Disney Company. And he is claiming that these little quote-unquote impairment charges, which apparently they filed for because of their loss of revenue after the terrorist attacks, are bogus charges in an effort to make up lost revenue, also lowering their stock price so that Walt Disney Company can get bigger royalties and buy bigger chunks of the company so that it's almost completely owned by Walt Disney Company. And they're saying this was all a ploy by Euro Disney to sell out and do some sleight of hand and get Walt Disney to buy all in so that basically they're just doing better.
Well, that would be a very elaborate long play strategy. I don't know. Do you believe it?
Well, I have no idea what most of it means. I just found it interesting because of the company business dynamics between these various Disney entities. And it's just something you don't ever, something I never think of, you know, that Disneyland Paris is completely owned and operated by this other company, Euro Disney. And is only partly owned by the Walt Disney Company we know from the U.S., and they just pay excessive royalties to the Walt Disney Company, apparently, for everything they use. It's just odd to think of. I know the Asian parks are like that, too, like Hong Kong, Shanghai, Tokyo. They're all owned by different business firms that have invested, and basically they just bought rights to build the Disney park, and they share the revenue with the Disney Company.
Yeah, it is strange to think about because you think of Disneyland Paris being just as much of a Disney park as Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
But there are little factors that differentiate it.
Yeah. So someone out there that knows business stuff and is wanting to call me on everything I said and interpreted incorrectly, that's fine with me. I'm willing. What I'm saying is I'm willing to learn. So email us or you can't really call in. Email us or message us or something and explain this whole thing to me. Just search Wall Street Journal, activist investor accuses Euro Disney.
That's simple, huh?
I just said Euro Disney, Wall Street Journal, Euro Disney. I mean, it was 2 days ago. It'll pop up.
Maybe that guy will come on the show and explain it.
Guy Weiser Pratt, reach out to us.
Yes. Well, mine is not quite as difficult to understand. So a couple weeks ago, I did something kind of exciting that I thought would be a lot of fun. And I want to talk about it now. I think I told you off the air that Disney World was auditioning here in Nashville for vocalists at the park. And I decided to do it because I thought I had zero expectations going into this thing. I mean, I have a job here in Nashville. I have a life here in Nashville. It wasn't something I expected to happen. But I was like, if nothing else, this could be a fun thing to talk about on the podcast. And it ended up being, like, fun is not the word I would use to describe it. I'm glad I did it. But it was just so quick that it was hard for me to call it fun. But let me go back and just kind of explain what happened. So I mean, to get into personal stuff a little bit, like I'm looking for a house right now. So I'm living with a friend until I can find something. And so when I saw these auditions were coming to Nashville, I was like, well, why wouldn't I at least go try that? Because it's not like anything is tying me down here in Nashville. And like I said, this would be kind of fun to talk about. It'd be fun to understand how the audition process works because it's something I've always wondered. And I thought maybe some of our listeners would wonder this too. So my friend Audrey and I decided we would go check it out. So they were here in Nashville and you have to bring a resume and you have to bring a headshot. And then you have to bring 16 bars of a song to perform. Now I know there are other auditions for like parade performers and you have to be prepared to do some choreography. There are auditions for a few other things too, like characters, lookalikes, stuff like that. But this one was just for vocalists, which as you guys know is a pretty prestigious job in Disney World. So again, no expectations. I mean, how many groups are there in Disney World that are just vocalists? I mean, Dapper Dans and Voices of Liberty, but maybe.
Well, and as we've discussed on previous shows, all the vocalists just lip sync. They don't even actually sing, so it can't be that hard.
I know there's an a cappella group in Disney Springs, which, I mean, they're great, I'm sure, but I'd be a little disappointed if I was given that gig. But anyway, so I had 16 bars of a song. We got there about an hour before they said to get there. We were some of the first people there, and we kind of waited around. I would guess about 60 people showed up to this thing. And, you know, we kind of met a few of them, and a lot of them had done it before, which Audrey and I had never done it before. But they were all like, oh, yeah, one guy had driven from New York that day and was staying in a hotel and then was going to drive back the next day. And I was like, wow, these people are serious. Because I'm like, if it weren't Nashville, I'd never would do this. But it's basically in my backyard. It was free. So why wouldn't I at least try?
And only 60 people? Really?
I would guess
have thought there'd been a lot more.
No, and 60 might be on the high end, to be honest. It might have been fewer.
Huh.
Yeah. So 10 o'clock came around, which is when we were supposed to start. And one of the women came out with her Mickey ears on and she said, okay, so we're just going to do the honor system. So let me know what order you were here in and I'll take all of your resumes. I'll take all of your headshots and we'll just go in that order. So Audrey and I ended up being numbers 5 and 6. And so what happened was when it was time for you to go, she called like 5 or 6 at a time back to this room. And then we had to stand on what they called the on-deck circle just outside the door. And then it was your time to go in. So Audrey went first. She came out, walked past me. And so I went in and there was just a guy at a piano and then a guy at a table. And that's all it was, which I was already like expecting a panel of at least 3 people, you know. But it all came down to this one guy's opinion. And then there was the pianist who clearly didn't have a say in the matter. He was just there to play your song. So I gave my music, I told him what tempo it was, and then I started singing, and he said only 16 bars, but he let me go until the end of the song. I started in the middle, and I went to the end, and then it had said online, maybe bring a second song just in case. And so he told me, well, did you bring something else? And I said, yeah. So I sang my second song, and he was very nice. You know, oh, great job, Derek. Great job. Thank you so much. And so I left the room, and I was like, well, what now? And online it had said that the callbacks would be the same day. And so I looked at the woman who was outside the door, and she was the one who had told us what order we'd be going in. And I said, so we can go? And she was like, mm-hmm, yeah, you can go. I was like, well, that was the most anticlimactic experience of my life.
Well, can we guess what songs you sang?
Oh, yeah. I thought I told you.
I think you did, but I don't remember. And so let's guess. Okay. Are they Disney songs?
You know, against my better judgment, I did a Disney song. I didn't want to because I felt like that was too on the nose, but I just love this song so much.
Both songs were Disney songs?
No. The first one was Disney.
First one was Disney. Okay. Is it from a 90s film?
It is.
Okay. Did you do A Whole New World?
No, I did not. And I just was silent during the Jasmine part.
And like awkwardly like she just staring the at the space hand. Next to you.
Did you do something from Hunchback?
I did.
Somewhere, what is it, Out There?
Out That's There. Bible.
Out There.
Well, Somewhere is also a song from... Someday is a song from Hunchback.
Someday. Yeah, whatever.
No, I sang Out There. I started with his part where he says, out there among the millers and the weavers and the wives, and then I went from there until the end.
Okay, what was the second genre?
Broadway.
Flo Rida? Was it My House?
My House at Christmas. That was it.
You said Broadway. Was it Les Mis?
It was not.
Was it Newsies?
Nope.
Was it...
It's very, very recent Broadway.
Is it Hamilton?
Oh, from Hamilton.
Yes.
Oh.
Was it when they like gangster rap the Constitution?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know. I never heard it. So I don't know any of the songs.
Was it In the Eye of a Hurricane?
No, it was Dear Theodosia.
Oh.
Can you imagine if I rapped? I am not throwing away my shot. And the keyboarders, the pianist is just like dun, 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 dun.
He's beating on the top of the yeah. You're supposed to clap here.
Yeah. But that was it, yeah.
And don't underestimate the facial expressions of a pianist. They can sway the decision of the person by just a eye roll or a smug facial expression with the mouth, you know?
Maybe.
Hmm.
He was very, very talented. I'll give him that. But he was like dead faced the entire time.
That's yeah. fun.
It was funny though because like the next few days, a few people who I had told were like, "Oh, how'd it go? Did you have a good time?" And I was like, "No, not really. I mean, I'm glad I did it, but there was no fanfare whatsoever. You know, you sing your song. He didn't like. I thought it would be like a." So why do you want to audition for Disney or tell us your story or whatever? But it was like, okay, you ready? Okay, thank you.
Well, I think that's just like the way, I mean, they see how many auditions,
that's
you
true.
Know, a day, a year. They just don't care. It's like my job right now where people come to be entertained at my job, but I genuinely don't care about them at all. Like, get in, do what you're supposed to do, and go, no, I didn't think you were funny. No, I didn't think it was great. No, I won't remember you when you come back next week. I'm sorry. It's just not the way it is. But anyways. but service with a smile. I'm pretty good at faking it. Anyways, I had the same situation, though, when I auditioned for Disney. What was that? Years ago.
10 years ago.
No, not that long. But it was for comedic actors, and they said to prepare a 1 minute little comedy monologue. So I did a little bit, you know, a little stand up thing that I had wrote down some observations about my life on. And they told me like there was a lot more than like 60 people there. There was at least 100, 200 people at least. And, But this was in Orlando. And anywho, they told me, they're like, you'll just go in there and like, they won't laugh, they won't do anything, they probably won't even look at you. You just go in there and start your thing, and then when you're done, they may say thank you and you just walk out. And so I was prepared for the worst, but to my surprise, the one guy actually laughed at one of the things I said, and then I felt overconfident. I was like, I got this. I mean, he laughed. But clearly I didn't. But anywho, so I just feel like maybe they're just over their job. Like, they don't care. But anyways, what did your partner in crime, what is she saying?
She sang All That Matters, which is a song from Finding Neverland, the musical. And then they also asked her to sing her second song, and she had prepared 16 Going on 17.
Okay.
So, yeah, she was pretty upset with herself. I think she didn't feel all that good about her audition. But, you know, it's kind of a shame, because I feel like you can never technically do your best at these things, because you're always going to be a little nervous, which means, like, breath support is not there. You're a little shaky, you know.
Well, and it's, you are kind of set up to fail, because you walk in and it's just like, all right, perform, monkey, you know,
and
you just got to do it like on a dime. It's not that easy.
Yeah. I mean, I have no regrets. I'd do it again. But in case you are ever wanting to audition for Disney, that's kind of what you should expect.
And you got some nice headshots out of it.
I did. Yeah. Courtesy of our friend Katie. Thanks, Katie. I'll send you those digital files. Don't worry, guys.
I look forward to them.
You think you could do these things, but you just can't, Nemo!
I can't take it anymore!
All right, that's it! Dishonor! Dishonor on your whole family!
Blast this pen! Blast this wretched, wretched pen!
No thanks to you, I am the laughing stock of the entire kingdom!
I know it's a rock! Don't you think I know a rock when I see a rock? I've spent a lot of time around rocks!
You are a toy!
Second rants!
How about Disney Springs Christmas Tree Trail looking like they went down to the Big Lots and stole the whole Christmas aisle and put it up in the middle of the place like some sketchy Santa village in Branson?
Whoever designed the candles in the Christmas decorations on Main Street, have you ever seen what a candle looks like?
Can Rivers of Light just get its crap together already? At this point, I'd rather Disney announce that it's debuting next summer along with Pandora rather than keep us hanging.
Would someone please tell Bernie Sanders that they'll have to protest the 1% somewhere else? Tomorrowland is not the place for their shady tent village.
It is almost 2017. It is time to fix the audio animatronic and the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin cue. Why does he still look like he's been up on the mountain with Jesus?
Please stay with your children at all times. That means when I've staked out the perfect spot for parade viewing, don't point to the space right in front of me and then go shoo your kid to stay in there.
So is it just me, or are they now just making up festivals at whim to pimp out World Showcase to the equivalent of a food truck trailer park for over half the year?
I think the only way at this point to save Hall of Presidents is to let Madea narrate it.
It's called the honor system, folks. If I arrive at the monorail station before you, do not push past me to get on board. We're all going to the same place.
Disney, can we make up our minds about the princesses? When it comes to beauty, are we going for accuracy or relatability? Lately, I feel like I've been at a meet and greet with one of those Craigslist rent-a-princess gals. Ooh, the last two I saw. Woof. Even Anna, you know, Anna, my little girl, whom we were taking, that's the audience. She was looking at them like, who are you?
If you've been listening listening to the Mad Chatters podcast for any amount of time, you know that we are huge sports fans. And we love our fantasy drafts.
Yes.
So, on this week's show, we're going to do a fantasy draft related to attraction wait times. And here's how it's going to work. We knew that this past Saturday, November 26th, would be fairly crowded since it's the weekend after a holiday. So we, on Thursday, or maybe it was Friday, we went around and we each picked 10 attractions that we thought would have the longest waits across all of Walt Disney World. And then Saturday throughout the day, I recorded wait times at specific times. I did it at 4 different times. And we are now going to find out whose attractions totaled up to the most minutes in their wait times. And if you want to play along at home, just think of us as 3 different teams, and you can pick which team you think is going to win based on the attractions we chose. So right now, let's go ahead and reveal what our picks were, and if you have any commentary you would like to share as to why you picked those attractions, feel free to do so. But what happened was I randomly drew to see the order, and Matt got to pick first. So Matt, why don't you tell us what attraction you chose as the one you thought would have the longest wait time?
Getting to pick first was a big advantage because I was able to go for the attraction that consistently has very long waits because of its newness and popularity having to do with its location. And that is the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in a new Fantasyland at the Magic Kingdom. And on a pretty stable day at the Magic Kingdom, it will have probably at least an hour wait. So if you're looking at a crazy crowded day, like a Saturday after Thanksgiving, high holiday season traffic, I think that I'll be looking at over 120 minute waits.
After Matt was me, and I have to say, what you just did was kind of a theme throughout the rest of the challenge, and that was you picked the one I was just about to pick. I think you did that at least 4 or 5 different times.
How did you pick the order, by the way? How did I get to go before you?
I just wrote the names on a little piece of paper and drew them.
I definitely think that was a big ol' advantage for me.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Or is it? Only time will tell.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so my first pick, I have to say, I kind of regretted later in the day because I based it on how hard it is to get a fast pass, not on the actual number for the wait time. I picked Frozen Ever After, which does have long wait times in the grand scheme of things. But the more I thought about it, I was thinking specific numbers, and I'm like, you know, other attractions have longer waits than that. But, oh well, that was my pick.
Well, even though I get to pick third in this, have no fear if you're rooting for my team because they don't call me Jeremy Shoot a Touchdown Fantasy King for nothing. So,
that's about right.
But I think I shot myself a little bit too with my first pick because I forgot they added the third screen, which really hurt some of my wait times, I feel like. But I went with Soarin', which, again, traditionally has long wait times, but you don't really hear about the astronomical wait times since its refurbishment. Mm-hmm. At least I haven't.
Yeah.
But I don't really pay that much attention to Soarin' wait times on the average day-to-day. But I went with Soarin', first round pick.
True confessions, I was sitting with Matt at lunch while we were doing all this, and when you picked Soarin', we kind of laughed, and I'm like, oh, he's out of touch. But only time will tell if I was right or wrong.
Well, and I didn't know you two were colluding together during this. That's interesting.
No, in fact, I tried to shut down Matt because he had his app open, and I'm like, no.
Oh, see, that crossed my mind, but I was getting my hair cut while we were doing this, so nice.
I told him very quickly that if this fantasy football junk works the way I think it is, then they're checking up on their players before they draft them into their made-up team.
No, I really
just
didn't.
Just checking them out. How many touchdowns did they run? Is that what you do with the touchdown? You run? Score?
Score, yeah.
Field goals and special teams and special ops and stuff like that.
Have we told the story about Matt with the score at your in-laws?
Yeah, but it's always worth retelling.
What are you talking about?
Okay, so when we were at my sister's house on our way to Disney World, I want to say for our very first trip,
It was. Now I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
now.
And we were all still cleaning up the food, but Matt had kind of gone into the living room just to relax a little bit. And the game was on that I guess my brother-in-law was watching. And so he called from the kitchen, "Hey, Matt, what's the score?" And there was kind of silence for a second. And Matt said, "BOS is beating CLE or something."
Yeah,
like
was it.
Because I think it was like Boston versus Cleveland or whatever.
Maybe the question was, who's playing? But Matt said, BOS is playing CLE.
Yeah. Oh, it was the score, because I remember giving a whoever BOS is beating CLE by two.
Which is why this is only the second fantasy draft we've ever done on the show. But hey, that's two more than I ever thought we would do. So
that's right.
All right, round two.
My second pick was based off Jeremy's first pick. When he said Soren, I went immediately to Test Track, which, since Soren's deal, it just seems to have it has increased its wait time since the redo a couple years ago. So I hope that holds true. I went with Test Track.
Yep. My second choice was based on something that also is hard to get fast passes for and is always consistently long from early in the morning until late at night, and that is Peter Pan's Flight, which is just strange. But I mean, I love that attraction, but just always has those long lines.
My second pick, I went with something that I feel like Matt mentioned earlier with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, consistently has a pretty decent line, even if it's not the longest line, it's consistent, and that is Space Mountain. Even on a slow day, Space Mountain can get up to 45 minutes to 50 minutes. So especially on a busy weekend, I imagine it went pretty high at one point.
Round three. I started with a risky pick in that it was Toy Story Mania, which is recently, like Soren, opened a third track and has caused wait times to kind of fluctuate. I think simply because of the lack of other things to do at Hollywood Studios on a very crowded day, it's still going to be a very long wait.
Ooh.
And so I'm banking on that. It's still pretty long most days, and we're not looking at 120, 130 and all that stuff anymore, but you know, consistently 60 to 90 minutes.
Yeah. That's a good thinking there with the whole few attractions. I didn't think about that.
I'm a thinker.
My next one was also a gamble. It's Splash Mountain. And it's a gamble because in the summer, this thing has some of the longest wait times in all of Magic Kingdom. But I wasn't quite sure how it would do on a pretty chilly day in November. But I went ahead and stuck with it because I just thought, surely there are people who, no matter what time of year it is, they have to ride Splash Mountain. Like me.
Yeah.
Closing out this round, I choose Expedition Everest. Simply because it's a roller coaster and it has a long line. A lot of times, especially yeah. On a busy weekend.
Which is crazy because that line just constantly moves. So you would think it would stay pretty short, but it does get up there sometimes.
Yeah, it's a pretty good ride system as far as quick load and offload. And you also then have the caveat of the single rider's line, which can cut down on your wait times. But still, I felt good about this pick.
Yeah.
My next pick is also a roller coaster. It is Rock and Roller Coaster at Hollywood Studios for the same reason. Very crowded weekend. You've got about three or four things worth doing to the average park goer, so why not just take them all out? So I was rocking roller coaster.
My next pick was about as far from a roller coaster as you can get, Jungle Cruise.
Now, this was an interesting pick to me, Derek. Explain your logic.
I think I even typed a question mark after I typed it.
Yeah, Jingle Cruise?
Because it was a risk, because I'm thinking you can only ride this 2 months of the year. So I in my mind, every guest who goes to Magic Kingdom is going to ride this, even if they can't. Like, if they have five attractions that are on their must-do list, this should be one of them because it's so limited time. So I feel like I could be totally wrong, but in my mind, the lines for this should stay a pretty good length throughout the day. I mean, for the normal Jungle Cruise, no. But for Jungle Cruise, just maybe.
Just I don't know. Maybe. Was there a Christmas party on the 26th?
No. No, there was not.
Oh, that could hurt you, because it is pretty busy on a Christmas party night, but I don't know. We shall see. I don't have any insider information about this, so. My pick for this round was Big Thunder Mountain, simply because, you know, it's a popular attraction, and the popular attractions that we think of for long queues were starting to get low, and I was actually surprised Big Thunder Mountain went this late in the game.
Well, and it just reopened after a long refurbishment as well.
There we go. So a lot of locals were itching to ride it. So
yeah, I thought of that as well.
Well, keeping in the theme, my next round.
Dang, you really did.
Tower of Terror.
Did you get every Hollywood Studios attraction?
I'll leave that to you. I did not.
Okay.
And we'll see. I'll tell you which. I don't want to spoil it. Which one's not coming down the pike and which one might not be. I went with Tower of Terror. Sometimes risky just because it kind of fluctuates. You know, it can get down to like 40, 45 during the day sometimes. But I feel like, again, with just a very crowded weekend, not a whole lot of things to do at Hollywood Studios, I feel like this would draw a big old crowd for most of the day.
Mm-hmm. My pick was over at Animal Kingdom. I feel like the Kilimanjaro safaris have sometimes the longest wait in all of Animal Kingdom, depending on certain factors. But it's a pretty dependable long line, just because it's something that everyone, no matter how young or old you are, can ride.
Now, if we were picking attractions based on subjectivity of wait times, I would have the winner with this pick, because you're standing next to some of those games that make those popping noises, and it feels like an eternity. So I'm going here with Winnie the Pooh. And again, this pick, I was in Fantasyland in my mind. I was trying to decipher those. Of course, we all know Peter Pan's a pretty good wait. But I always feel like, especially recently, last time I was at the park, the Pooh line is always consistently steady. So, and it's not a good ride system for loading quickly.
It's the hydration. The hydration keeps your Pooh line steady.
Wow. Wow.
A little tasteful humor there.
Yeah, it's always, it can always depend on Matt for the poop references and jokes.
My next pick is the Haunted Mansion at the Magic Kingdom. Not always the longest wait time, but certainly on a very crowded day, it is. Because what you have that starts to happen at the Magic Kingdom, not to mention the FastPass Plus system that has elevated some of these previously, not walk-on attractions, but certainly not a long wait. It has elevated them in wait times. But what you have in the Magic Kingdom is that when other things get really ridiculous, you know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, when those things are just ridiculous and you're talking like 2-3 hour waits, people go to these a little lesser E-minus ticket attractions. And
did you just call Haunted Mansion E-minus?
Yeah, it's kind of E-minus. I mean, it's obviously my second favorite attraction ever. It's wonderful. But in terms of the average guest, it's not an e-ticket attraction, you know, like a roller coaster or something like that. So, but it's still a safe pick, I think.
I'm actually surprised my next pick lasted as long as it did without getting chosen. Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin. Always a long line. In fact, when we went with that with Terry and her family earlier this summer, I knew they were going to want to ride it because Gavin had been talking about it, and I was like dreading it because I knew it would be the longest line. I think it was 40 something minutes.
And how did you score on it?
I beat Gavin.
Boom.
Oh, wow, that's saying something.
In fact, I think I beat everyone in our party, but of course they had never ridden it before, so you know, I can't be too proud of that.
Yeah.
I didn't quite know how it works.
Right. And I was blocking their guns with my hands, so.
You were also chaperoning them from their field trip from the Helen Keller School for the Deaf and Blind, so.
Yeah.
Stop.
I was kind of upset because Haunted Mansion and Buzz were both my next picks, and I was really excited about Buzz. I thought nobody's going to pick Buzz. I'm going to get Buzz, and that's going to be the dark horse of this tournament. But then you got it, so good job. So I went with Dinosaur. Kind of Matt's reasoning at Hollywood Studios. Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom, not a lot of thrill ride type attractions there. So you either got Everest or you got Dinosaur, and I got both of them.
And you also got Big Thunder, and those are two attractions that have just reopened in the last couple weeks.
Oh, there you go. See, there was a strategy the whole time I was picking these. Yes, I did my research.
Whatever round we're on, seven, mm-hmm. eight?
Seven.
Seven? Seventh round pick is the magical Mickey meet and greet, whatever it is, at Town Square, Main Street, USA. I was unsure about the meet and greet, but I got the thumbs up from Derek, our executive producer. And so I went with it because it was consistently long the other day. And it typically, in the middle of the day at least, tends to be long.
Oh, for sure, yeah. My pick was Pirates, kind of like what Matt said with Haunted Mansion. You know, back in the day, you could kind of depend on this as a, hey, everything has a long line, let's go ride Pirates, because it shouldn't be longer than 15 or 20.
Yeah.
But thanks to FastPass Plus, like, sometimes recently, I've seen it as 45, 50, like, that
yeah,
queue
it's
is
ridiculous.
Just, it's snaking back and forth in that little outside area, and it's like, man alive, what happened? So I was kind of hoping that that would be the case on Saturday.
This is the point in the tournament in which I start playing a little loosey-goosey and just kind of going with some things that I hope will be long without really any logic behind them. So at this point, I went with the Tomorrowland Speedway. Again, an attraction I hate, and I hate even having it on my team. It's kind of like...
I hate you. Sit down.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like when you have that kid on your, you know, that you're like, oh, he's such a brat, but man, can he shoot the ball? That's kind of how I feel. So I'm hoping that a lot of children wanted to ride this atrocity this weekend.
I don't think that the Tomorrowland Speedway shoots the ball. I think he's just a zealous, clunky, awkward kid on the team that everybody just likes out of pity.
Mm.
Well, they can pity him all they want as long as those wait times shot yeah. up.
Yeah.
Round eight.
Dumbo, the flying elephant. Shooting from the hip on this one. Shooting from the hip. Just thought Magic Kingdom, Fantasyland, lots of kids there on Saturday after Thanksgiving. Big old holiday crowds. They'll be wanting to ride the Dumbos.
I haven't checked the wait times for Enchanted Tales with Belle a lot lately because, you know, I did it once and I feel like I don't really need to do it again for a while. But the last I could remember, the wait was always around 40. So I was kind of hoping that it would be like that.
The advantage to that attraction is it's not going to be a steady moving line. You're going to have to wait for each, you know, movement of the room, so
it's true.
You could get stuck there for a while.
I can only hope.
Maybe somebody vomited, and that'd be to your advantage.
Wow, so many variables in this game.
It really is. It really.
I wish somebody would die on my attraction. No,
that's terrible.
They would just shut it down.
The edge of my seat.
There's the fine line between a serious enough injury to stall the line and keep the attraction open, and going past that line, which closes the attraction and shoots the wait time down to a big old zero.
That is true.
So you kind of pray for a bad injury, but not fatal.
Mm. Just every day.
Just a missing finger or something.
All right, and speaking of missing fingers, I went with Mission Space. Actually, that
yes.
Whatever
that means.
I don't know. Actually, I should have said speaking of missing legs, because it's Gary Sinise and Lieutenant Dan.
Nice.
But, Anyways, Mission Space. Again, this one, I kind of surprised that we let it go this long, because I think, especially compared to Enchanted Tales of Belle, it's going to be a little bit longer.
I don't know. I don't think people like that attraction.
Yeah, but we're dealing with the general public.
That's true.
They're not like smart enough to
hate
know
that attraction.
They don't know they hate it though until they ride it a few times.
Right.
Maybe people watched the thing on Thursday night and saw Kelly Clarkson singing in front of it and thought, I need to ride that on Saturday.
I have to ride that attraction.
Kelly Clarkson likes it.
She did not get a say in that. She's like, who put me in front of this atrocity?
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot you're a Kelly Clarkson fan. I wasn't impeding her character by saying she liked it.
I wasn't offended. You're good.
My next pick is Little Mermaid, Under the Sea with Ariel, Little Mermaid, whatever the name of the ride is. Dark Ride in Fantasyland. kind of one of those, like, well, I'm just banking on Fantasyland being really ridiculously crowded and people seeing a 3-hour wait time for Seven Dwarfs and saying, let's go do something else. Let's go wait 2 hours in the sun for Little Mermaid. So I'm gonna go with that.
I also stuck to Fantasyland. I did It's a Small World. Again, this was a bit of a question mark because you just never know with that attraction. But, you know, on the Saturday, lots of families out, lots of kids there. I thought, everybody wants to ride It's a Small World.
Small World was on my list, but I was only going to pick it the last round if it was still available. I don't know why, I just felt like that.
Yeah.
My second to last choice is Living with the Land. And this, again, also a little bit of a crapshoot, but I feel like I remember times seeing, you know, up to 30, 40 minutes. And if you're this late in the round and you have 30, 40 minutes, I feel like that's a good place for you. And, you know, they have that queue that kind of, it's got a pretty decent sized queue is what I'm trying to say. And so when that fills up, you could be in there for a little bit.
This is the last round, and my pick was maybe a little odd, but it makes a little sense at times, and it might just pull in the wind for me. And that was the Silly Pete's sideshow meet and greet stuff over at Storybook Circus, and I made a little deal with Derek that you have two sides, the Donald and Goofy side or the Daisy and Minnie side. And just to go with whichever one's longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll explain that when we get to the winners. I picked one that, kind of like Pirates and Haunted Mansion, has greatly been affected by FastPass Plus. In Epcot, I picked Spaceship Earth. Again, back in the day, you hardly had to wait at all for this. But nowadays, you can expect to wait at least 10 minutes at any time of the day.
My final pick, I went with the Fairy Tale Princess Hall in the Magic Kingdom. I'm still banking on some Elsa hype there.
Well, Elsa is not there anymore.
I meant Snow White hype.
Well, here's what I was going to say.
the latent Snow White hype.
Here's is kind of like Matt's in that there are two sides. So what I did was I went with the longer one for the first part of the day. And then I stuck with that one the rest of the day, if that makes sense. So, like, for you, Cinderella and I want to say Elena of Avalor? I'm not quite sure.
Oh, but she's there?
Yeah, she just got added. It was longer, so I stuck with them the rest of the day. And then for Matt, the daring side, the Goofy and, who is it, Donald?
Yes.
That side was longer, so I stuck with them the rest of the day. Okay, so you guys ready to get to some results?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I like I said, I checked 4 different times throughout the day, and I'm just going to read these in backwards order of our picks, reveal the wait times, and if you have anything you want to comment on, feel free to interject. So first, I checked at 10:15 in the morning, Saturday, November 26th, starting with Fairy Tale Princess Hall for Jeremy, 40 minutes.
Yes!
10:15. Yes. Our other two picks, Spaceship Earth was 15, and Matt's pick, Pete's Silly Sideshow, was 5.
Oh.
I didn't mean to laugh. I'm so sorry.
That's going to hurt you.
He's a grower, Derek, not a shower.
That's going to hurt Derek, I think. Because I would expect Spaceship Earth to be busiest in the morning there, because you got that first rush, you know, that's the first thing they see.
Yeah, they gotta, that we, the Pete Silly Sideshow's gotta wait till all the other crap fills up.
And it's in the very back of the park.
That's right.
So, maybe, maybe. Okay, next, Living with the Land had a whopping 5 minutes.
Dang it.
It's a Small World and Under the Sea both had 15. So not too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mission Space, Jeremy's pick, had 10 minutes. Enchanted Tales with Belle had 20. And Dumbo had 15.
Okay, I'm hanging in there.
Yep, pretty even. Tomorrowland Speedway, 20 minutes. Pirates of the Caribbean, 15 minutes. And Matt's pick, Meet Mickey at Town Square Theater, had 25.
See, he's benefiting from that morning burst.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Who doesn't?
Okay, for the next picks, Jeremy's Dinosaur had 10 minutes. My Buzz Lightyear had 30 minutes, and Haunted Mansion had 15. Okay, so we're starting to get higher with these next picks. Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh had 35.
Woohoo!
Yep, the Safaris also had 35. And Tower of Terror had 40.
Ooh, that early.
At 10:50, I was surprised by that. Okay, even bigger now, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad had a 60-minute wait.
Yes!
Nice. Jingle Cruise had 35.
Oh,
I know. That was a big gamble. Rock and Roller Coaster had 75 minutes.
Wow.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Getting a good game.
Yeah. Expedition Everest. Yes, indeed. Expedition Everest had a 45-minute wait. You guys, I suck at this. Splash Mountain had a 10-minute wait.
All right. It's early. It's a little cold.
It's still pretty chilly. Yeah, it's still chilly. Toy Story Mania had 50 minutes. 50. Okay, second to last round. Space Mountain, 60 minutes.
Yes, okay.
Once again, I suck. Peter Pan was down.
Oh.
An injury on the field.
So it had a 0-minute wait. Test Track, however, had the longest wait of any attraction at 10:15 in the morning, 105 minutes.
Good night.
And we're not even to our first picks yet, but yeah, that was the longest wait. For our first pick, Soarin' had 45 minutes, Frozen had 50, and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train only had 40 minutes.
Ooh.
So it's funny how at least four attractions had longer waits than our top three picks. But
yeah,
you just never know. I noted a few other ones that had long waits. The Adventurer's Outpost, where you meet Mickey and Minnie at Animal Kingdom, had a 55-minute wait.
Ooh,
which is surprising.
That did not even blip on my radar.
Nope. And none of us picked Anna and Elsa at the Royal Summer House, and they were pretty steady at 40 or 45 minutes throughout the day. So that stinks.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I checked back at noon, middle of the day. Well, not quite the middle. Fairytale Princess Hall, again.
It's kind of the middle of the day.
But not the middle of the operating day.
Yeah.
Fairytale Princess Hall, again, had 40 minutes. But okay. Spaceship Earth had 55.
Ugh.
Pete's Silly Sideshow, 25.
Oh, no.
Well.
Can I bench that until until get on the bench.
Living with the Land had 40. Which I thought was pretty surprising.
Very good, yes.
It's a Small World had 30. Under the Sea had 20.
Oh, late. those later picks, man.
Yep. Mission Space had 30. Enchanted Tales with Belle had 30. Dumbo had 50.
Yeah.
Oh.
Come on, Dumbo.
Yep. Tomorrowland Speedway had 40.
Okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean was 30. And to meet Mickey, you had to wait 60 minutes.
Wow.
Yep. At noon. Dinosaur had a 50-minute wait, 50. Buzz Lightyear had 45, and Haunted Mansion had 40. So that round was pretty even.
Yeah.
But then you get to Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, It had a 50-minute
yes!
wait. Yes! That's long.
Yes!
That's a long time to wait in that interactive queue.
Pop, 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 yeah. pop, 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 pop. For 50 minutes, folks.
Yeah, it's almost like when they do, you know, it's 60 degrees outside, but feels like 40. It's like 50-minute wait feels like 150. Safari's had a 75-minute wait. Boom. And Tower of Terror had 50.
Eh.
Okay. Next, Big Thunder Mountain had 50. Jingle Cruise had 50. So I got a little higher with Jingle Cruise there, thank goodness. And Rock and Roller Coaster had 60. Okay, now we get to some high numbers. At noon, Expedition Everest had an 80-minute wait.
Yes!
I cannot believe that.
I can't.
80 minutes. Splash Mountain had 45.
Yeah.
And Toy Story Mania had 90.
Yes.
Yep. Space Mountain had 70 minutes. Peter Pan's Flight has now been reopened and has 65 minutes for its wait time. Yeah, yeah, I'll take it. And once again, Test Track had the highest wait time at noon with 105 minutes again. Soarin' had 60, Frozen 75, and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train had 100.
Wow.
Star Tours had 40, by the way. I feel like we made a mistake by leaving that off of our list.
That is the one I left out. It's just, you know, those 30 and 40 minute ones are just kind of, eh. That's why I took my risks on the others, the meet and greets.
Right, right. It's risky for sure. Okay, so I checked back in at 3:15 in the afternoon. Fairytale Princess Hall had a 25-minute wait. Spaceship Earth was down to 30. And Pete's Silly Sideshow had 25. Living with the Land had 25. It's a Small World had 20. And Under the Sea had 35. This round is interesting. Mission Space had 25.
Oh, come on, Gary.
Enchanted Tales with Belle had only 20. But Dumbo had 90 minutes.
90 Holy minutes?
Guacamole.
For Dumbo. And they have
and
two.
And there's 32 of them.
That's a lot. So
that's 64 people at a time.
I don't know what was going on with Dumbo, but people wanted to ride it on Saturday.
Keep that doing magic math feather for us.
And that mouse.
That's 32. That's 64 people.
Oh, good. Tomorrowland Speedway had 30, Pirates 30, Mickey 35. Pretty even.
That sounds like a moderate day at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, it really wasn't as crowded as I was expecting.
Except for the Fantasyland stuff, I guess. That's odd.
If we did this for like Christmas Day, oh.
Yeah.
Golly. Maybe we should come back and do it with our same picks. Yep. Dinosaur had a 60-minute wait, Buzz Lightyear 45, and Haunted Mansion 50. Yeah, 60 minutes is really long for Dinosaur.
Yeah, I'm liking that.
Yeah, and 50 minutes is pretty long for Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I'd say over 30 is long for that.
Yeah. Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh had 45, Safari's 35, so that way dropped. Tower of Terror 50, so that stayed pretty steady. Tower of Terror did. Big Thunder went down to 35. Jingle Cruise, 35. Yeah, that was a big drop for Big Thunder. I don't know what happened there. Rock and Roller Coaster, however, had an 85-minute wait. That was Matt's pick.
Big numbers.
Yep. Expedition Everest, 75.
Yes.
Splash Mountain, 35. Golly, what's up with Splash Mountain? Come on, guys.
Tell him to put his socks back down. He needs to just calm it down.
Put his socks back
what
down?
What are you talking about?
He's the guy on the team that wears his socks really high still. You're like, no, you're not playing right now. Just sit on down.
Go put your warm-up jersey back on. Like,
yeah, you get some water, will you?
I think you're referencing something in the attraction. I'm like, who wears socks?
These sports references are atrocious.
They're endearing. Socks.
Next time I go to a ball game, which is not going to happen anytime soon, but next time I'm going to start yelling that for somebody who does
well,
bad.
Now, look, like,
put your socks back down.
Okay.
Yeah.
back to the list. Test Track. No, wait. Toy Story Mania had 65. So, pretty high. Space Mountain had an 85-minute wait. So, there you go, Jeremy. Wow.
Man, staying consistent.
Peter Pan was up to 70. Test Track took a big hit, but still 70 minutes. So, still pretty long. Soarin' had a 65-minute wait. Frozen is now up to 95 minutes. And Seven Dwarfs Mine Train had the longest wait of any attraction at 315. It had a 120-minute wait.
Wow.
Yep, that's a long time for a very, very short attraction.
I would say not worth it. I love the attraction, but not worth it.
Yeah, it's going to be one of my favorite attractions when the line is like consistently 40 or less.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, and then the last time I checked was at 5 o'clock. You know, Animal Kingdom closes at 7:30, so it wouldn't really be fair if I checked after that. So I checked at 5 o'clock. Fairy Tale Princess Hall was a whopping 70-minute wait.
Yes.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. That's a long time. Whereas Spaceship Earth had a 25-minute wait, and Pete's Silly Sideshow had a 35-minute wait. So people love their princesses. Living with the Land had a 10-minute wait.
Oh, yeah. Drop the ball.
We even things out with that one. Small World had 30. Under the Sea had 60.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long wait for that attraction.
Yeah, for an Omnimover, for sure. Mission Space, 15. Enchanted Tales, 30. And in the biggest twist of the day, Dumbo had the longest wait of any attraction.
What?
You want to take any guesses?
I'm going to say 120, Bob.
120 is exactly right.
120 minutes for Dumbo?
And that's a line where once they board, you just have to wait till that round's over, and then you board again. So you just, that's a horrible line to wait in.
Well, they're all in there playing. You got your little buzzer.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that. Okay, well, yeah. For a grown man, that's a horrible line to wait in.
Yeah.
Tomorrowland Speedway, 70 minutes.
Oh, there you go.
Yep, Pirates, 25. Mickey, 65. Yes. Dinosaur, at 5 o'clock, was down.
Ah!
Unfortunately. Still working out kinks from having just reopened, I guess. Buzz Lightyear and Haunted Mansion both had a 40-minute wait. Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh also had a 40-minute wait, but Safaris had a 65-minute wait, and Tower of Terror had, once again, a 50-minute wait. Big Thunder, 55.
Yes, okay.
Jingle Cruise, 45. Rock and Roller Coaster, 50.
Oh, that was a big drop.
Yeah, it really was. I guess by that time of the day, people were like, I'm out.
Everybody's done with Hollywood Studios.
We've done everything.
Twice.
We've eaten at all the restaurants and bought all the merchandise, so let's go home.
Whereas Expedition Everest had a 70-minute wait, Splash Mountain 35, and Toy Story Mania 50. Space Mountain 65, Peter Pan 55, Test Track 80. So Test Track stayed above 60 minutes all day long.
Hmm.
Yikes. Get a fast pass for that one, folks. Soarin', 50. Frozen, 95. And Seven Dwarfs, 100. So Frozen almost caught up with Seven Dwarfs there for a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Okay, so here's how it broke down. Can I have a drum roll, please? You sound like an alien from the cantina in Star Wars. There you go. Okay, so Jeremy's attractions added up to a total of, thank you, drum roller, that will be in. Jeremy's attractions added up to a total of 1,755 minutes.
Yeah.
For an average wait time. An average wait time of 43.8 minutes.
I'm not feeling good about that now.
Hey, that's steady. That's steady. You're in there.
43 is pretty decent wait.
Yeah.
Way to watch the ball.
Keep your eye on the ball.
Does everyone get a snow cone at the end, win or lose?
That sounds good.
Heck, nowadays you get a trophy, a Mercedes.
My attractions added up to a total wait time of 1,585 minutes with an average wait time of 39.6 minutes.
Ooh. Oh,
wah,
it's that Jingle
wah.
Cruise.
I know.
Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain killed me. Mm. Come on, Zippity-Doo-Dah.
And Spaceship Earth, kind of.
No, Spaceship Earth wasn't bad. Especially since it was my last pick. But, yeah. And Peter Pan being down. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay, but Matt blew us out of the water. His wait time was a total of 2,200 minutes for an average wait time of 55 minutes.
Wow.
So there you go. Don't bet against Test Track and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
That's right.
Yeah, you did kind of have the two powerhouses now that I think about it.
Yeah, looking back, though, for the totals, the three longest wait time totals, Test Track and Seven Dwarfs were tied for 360 minutes.
Oh.
Followed by Space Mountain at 280, followed by Rock and Roller Coaster at 270. Oh, no. Dumbo had 275, more than Rock and Roller Coaster.
That's crazy.
Golly.
In your Disney Titans, the Dumbo trumps Rock and Roller Coaster on this day.
On this day, yes. I think I may do a follow-up at the end of December and just check these same attractions on Christmas Day and see if the averages, see if the order is still the same. The averages will be much higher, I'm sure. But anyway, there you go. So Matt is the victor, followed by Jeremy, followed by me. And if you're looking to get some fast passes, hopefully that helped you out, listeners. And if not, maybe we entertained you for an hour. Who knows?
Maybe not. Hey,
the next time we do this, I'm going to try and pad the lines.
What does that mean in layman's terms?
I'm going to call up and be like, hey, there's a suspicious package at Test Track. You need to check that out.
Nice. You can get people like advertised, you know, hey, if you get the red wait time thing, you just, you know, promise them some money or you know, food or something to wait. Kind of stand to the side of the line and just keep saying, I'm waiting on someone. Go past me. Go on. Go ahead.
But that wouldn't make the line longer.
It would when they scan that thing. It'd be like Small World, like 520 minutes.
Scan the thing. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because I went by the official Disney app for all these, so that would work.
That's what I did the other day.
But I think that does it for this episode of the Mad Chatters podcast. So thanks for tuning in. You can always find us online on Instagram at Mad Chatters and Twitter at Mad Chatters and Facebook. You can send your emails to comments@madchatters.net. We so appreciate those reviews on iTunes, so please keep those coming just so other people kind of know who we are and what we're all about. We'll see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now that we've gotten the news out of the way, let's kick things off with the Disney fix. Oh, sorry.
For our alien listeners.
Was that your weird throat noise?
Yes, when I drink carbonation, it does that. So sorry. And now, listeners, to make it interesting, if you would like to play along, after we reveal our 10 picks, you should pick one of the Mad Chatters, one of our picks, and decide who you think. That was terrible.
I was going to say, you want to try that again in English?
I don't know how to word that.
Which one you like would think would be as good or better yesterday?
Oh.